Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today, we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Budgeting Hassles Solved. I have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Donald Davidoff, co-founder and CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics, and Jennifer Allen, Vice President of Asset Management with Lincoln Property Company, who is in charge of their fund assets. So welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah,
thanks for having us, Paul.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic because, you know, budgeting is always a hassle in multifamily, and it's painful for a lot of folks. I want to start with you, Jenny. Why do you think that multifamily operators find their budget process to be so cumbersome and painful?
Well, Paul, I think there's two reasons for the process to be cumbersome and painful. The first is a kind of lack of clarity and vision from the ownership group to the operator who's preparing the budget regarding expectations and goals for the coming year as you're building, for example, this year, the 2023 budget. Are we raising rents 5 or 6%? Are we, you know, trying to control expenses to this number? Those are, you know, some very clear expectations. How much capital are we going to spend? And all of those components in our budget, they relate to one another. And so that is a definite issue with budgeting. And then the second component is some operators don't have good templates and systems, and sometimes they're complicated or they're clunky. Some of the off-the-shelf systems that a lot of large firms are using were really ultimately designed for your more traditional commercial property types like office and retail, and those systems have it bolt on for the multifamily sector, and the systems just don't work quite right. They're not as intuitive. They're not as easy. And then the others are still operating in simple Excel templates, which has its own subset of problems with version control, and they're not cloud-based, and those in and of themselves have some difficult issues.
Yeah, and speaking of Excel, Donald, why is that not what people would consider the end-all, be-all solution?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that actually a recent study by 111 Advisors and National Multi-Housing Council show that more than half of companies in our business use Excel as their, you know, their budget application. You know, Jenny mentioned one thing already, right, which is, you know, not being in the cloud and being, you know, what I want to say, being, you know, just a completely flexible solution. Well, flexibility cuts both ways, right? People can make big mistakes. So, you know, one of the classic things I've heard from people running budgets is the last weekend call from a community manager who did something wrong and overwrote everything, or, you know, somehow deleted the saved copy of the budget. And they're asking, what do I do? What do I do? And the only answer is, well, you spend your entire weekend rebuilding your budget from scratch because it's still due Monday. And then, you know, tears follow.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that you can lose things if you save wrong is a real big challenge. You know, Jenny mentioned the lack of being in the cloud or being in a database. You know, it's really hard to get portfolio reports, right? If you've got 20, 30, or 130 communities in a portfolio, you know, that means 20, 30, or 130 individual Excel worksheets. And that doesn't make for portfolio analysis. You know, a couple other things that I think, again, Excel is great for a general solution, but when you're doing something like budgeting that has a very specific workflow to it, right, there's no automated workflow. People can bounce around in the Excel model however they want, and and that can lead to them missing things or skipping things. And then my favorite example of the challenges with Excel in this environment or in this application is the fact that you can easily stomp on a cell. So, I still remember I was back at Archstone in the day, and, if I have a superpower, I'm one of those guys that can look at an Excel sheet and just within 5 or 10 seconds tell you the one cell that can't possibly be right. And in this case, I saw rent per square foot that couldn't possibly be right. And sure enough, I went and looked at it, and instead of the formula, right, of being equals the rent divided by the square foot, it was just hard entered to $1.56. And being the curious guy that I am, I went back and looked, and the last time that property was at $1.56 was 3 years earlier. So that hardwired mistake, had been around for 3 years, and nobody noticed it, and yet decisions were being made based on that. So I think that's a really good example of why Excel's great for ad hoc analysis, but not for structured applications like budgeting forecasting.
Yeah. We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. With so many companies that are building their own models, I guess, through Excel, does this introduce a key person risk?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest challenges with home-built models, because it's rare, and Jenny can speak to her experience in a moment, but I find it's rare that there's more than one or two people who are expert on the system. And so many a COO have complained to me about losing their key budget person. And the interesting thing is it's not always losing them to another company, right? Sometimes it's losing them to a promotion or a new job within the company, because certainly as a COO, you don't want your budget person, no matter how good they are, to feel that they're trapped in a job because they're the only one that's expert. So it really does create a lot of challenges when you're reliant on that one or two people that can easily leave.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Jenny?
Yeah, I think key person risk is always an issue in so many levels of our entire industry. But, that one key person, they can be the gatekeeper and the control. And if you can, the other component to this is if you can kind of break them. And like Donald said, you can break a cell, and you can break a single cell within Excel. If that person gives up the passcode to the Excel model to one person, it can create all kinds of issues, because Donald can find the one mistake on a spreadsheet, but if somebody broke a component to the model early on in one of the other sheets that doesn't feed one of the outputs, that could be a lot harder to find that mistake. Mm-hmm. And so that key person, we shouldn't build our companies around one person's ability to do one job. That's a little...
That's risky. That's very risky. And so we've got about 3 minutes left. What are some of the typical mistakes that you've seen operators make in their budget models?
Yeah, I think, the biggest one we'll talk more, I'm sure, in one of the other segments, is confusing inputs and outputs. So, for example, occupancy should really be the output of a model, not an input. We'll talk more later, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. A couple other things that I've seen, not budgeting seasonality correctly is an easy mistake to make. And one of the other ones is budgeting at a community level instead of at the unit type level. I find that's particularly painful in places like California or any place that has bond units, or a situation where some of the property is market rent and some of it is, rent constrained, usually, based on the, the ratio of someone's income to the median household income in the area. In particular, we've got one client who one of the reasons they like our model is that we do it at the unit type level. So they found that they would use certain assumptions, but at a property level, you kind of have to meld, well, what is the market rate going to do versus what is the versus what the rent constraint is going to do. Whereas if you can model it at the unit type level, right, and it's hard in Excel to build multiple unit type models. That's one of the reasons a lot of people do it at the community level. But then you end up with melded assumptions, and that can really make it hard to figure out whether your budget is on target or not. Jenny, I'm curious, what other mistakes you've seen in your career?
Well, I would say that the melded model works both ways. It's difficult for the affordable units, but it's also difficult for these assets that have penthouse units, which tend to operate differently on rent control as well.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I know you mentioned California, but I know that that I've got people that I've spoken with around the country that have mm-hmm. a portion of market rate and a portion of affordable or low-income housing there that they have to do based on that ratio. So it's a nationwide, I think, issue in that particular niche. That
and it is. It is really hard to get your budget right if all your assumptions are at the community level, because you're really running two different businesses under one roof, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's break it here. We are going to be back right after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we are discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Budgeting Hassles Solved. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily street veterans, Donald Davidoff, co-founder and CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics, and Jennifer Allen, Vice President of Asset Management with the Lincoln Property Company, who oversees their fund assets. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or simply listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So let's talk a little bit about, we talked about Excel, you know, we're talking about solving these budgeting hassles. So what does a good solution look like? And I'm guessing it's not Excel.
Yeah, this goes further, right? We already talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a few things. I'll talk more from a you know, application perspective, and then, you know, maybe Jenny can comment a little from the asset management perspective. But I think number one is it should sit on top of the database, right? So that way, as we talked in the first segment, data is never lost, right? We get rid of that hassle. It's also very easy to do portfolio reporting, because inside of the database, right, each property's budget is for that property. But unlike Excel with, you know, 30, 40, 100 plus Excel worksheets, it's all in one database. So much easier to do portfolio reporting. It should have formal user interface, and that interface can control the workflow and do entry validation logic. So again, Excel is great for ad hoc analysis, but, you know, that also lets people kind of run amok when you have a structured application that you're trying to get through. It should allow for multiple entries against the same general ledger account, right? So one of the things that I've always liked in the budget systems I've been involved in is for an individual line item, a GL account, I should say, I can enter individual line items. So I'm not just putting a single number in for my, you know, ILS marketing or my landscaping or whatever. I can put different line items explaining each amount. That makes it easier to explain how we got to the final budget number. It should allow for note-taking. That should be pretty obvious. It should have special case handling for renovations, CapEx, lease-ups, right? We always think just kind of regular, standard, stabilized properties, but Jenny can certainly speak to lease-ups and renovations in her world. And I guess the last thing I'll mention is it should take a payroll input from your HRIS. And then, obviously, if you've got payroll information in your system, it's got to have the security to protect who gets access to that kind of sensitive information. You know, so much more, but I'm kind of curious, Jenny, from your experience as an asset manager, what other elements I maybe missed.
Well, I think, you know, you touched on renovation, and so many people have tried, and I feel like they've gotten close, but it's just not close enough or good enough with the through a renovation in Excel and modeling that, because you do have, like we talked about in the last segment, you do have affordable and market rate and penthouse units, but with a renovation, you have studios, one bedrooms and two bedrooms. And if you're doing a renovation within a high rise, not only do you have the complexity of the three different types of units, but then you also have complexity as it relates to view premiums and those types of things. And so within a database, you're able to better isolate variables as it relates to the renovation on a particular floor plan and a unit and a view and the costs associated therewith and the expected premium associated with units or smaller groupings of units on a renovation. The other thing I did want to mention about Excel is, as we talked about running one or two businesses within an individual community, but you're also running multiple businesses as you break down the individual units, studios, ones, twos, threes. They have different drivers, different movers, different costs, different expectations, different seasonality. Mm-hmm. And so Excel just does not have the capability to map all of that individualized data.
Yeah. And then one of the things we haven't talked about too, which is a completely different animal, is student housing, where you're looking at a bed budget versus a unit budget, I would think. Is that what you found?
Say that again, Paul.
Student housing is a completely different animal than you know, conventional, when you're renting by the bed as opposed to by the unit. So,
yeah, the interesting thing on student is obviously by the bed housing is, you know, requires a different model than by the home. And, you know, my experience is many student housing companies or companies with student housing portfolios have a mix, right? You can have student housing that is actually sold by the unit. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you could have a different building where the student housing is by the bed. So, you know, student housing companies have an even more complex issue to deal with.
Let me ask you this. We got about 6 minutes left in this segment. You talked, Donald, a little bit before the show about building genius into the system. What does that mean, and how can you do it?
Yeah, I think building the genius into the system is a big part of removing or solving the hassles. I mean, simply put, it means having the software do as much of the lift as possible, right? Leaving the operators with only the need to enter data that's unique to their community. So, okay, what does that mean, right? It means having a standard cost sheet that preloads known costs, and it gives the operator the ability to select the costs and apply to them. And there's a couple of different ways that could work. You could have a set of ILS costs, and it's preloaded because I know which properties are doing which. So now, you know, my community manager and my regional manager don't have to worry about that part. Or maybe I'm a little more decentralized and the community managers and regional managers have more choice. So I give them the standard cost, and then in the budget, they pick and choose which ones apply. Another example would be a situation where the cost per unit is known or per item is known, but not how many items are there. So a good example of that is a lot of companies, a lot of operators have iPads on site, and maybe they're paying, I don't know, I'll pick a number, $30 a month for data connections. So in my standard cost, I can put $30 per iPad, and then my model my application has the operator identify how many iPads they have. So, you know, one community has two, the other community has three. So that's two different monthly costs. Another good example of building the genius into the system is certain costs should be driven off of metrics, right? My revenue management system is probably priced per unit per month. So that's based on the total unit count. Whereas my gift baskets are based on, you know, the number of move-ins that I have. Painting costs may be based on number of move-outs, et cetera. So building the genius in the system has those costs based on the metrics. So if I change my revenue assumptions and therefore the model comes up with different move-in and move-out counts, the expenses get automatically updated. That's building the genius in the system. Maybe the last example I'll give is on the rent engine, right? Rent engine's really complex. And so the more you can put the intelligence of the rent forecast into the model so that it takes inputs like seasonality, Jenny mentioned that earlier, expected annual rent growth, that was mentioned earlier as well, the renewal strategy, and a whole host of other drivers, and then it calculates those move-ins, move-outs, occupancy, GPR, NRI, et cetera. So the operator is only putting in the things that she's particularly knowledgeable on and let the math do all the rest. That's really building the genius into the system.
Yeah, and Jenny, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Jenny, these structured workflows that Donald just described, how does that alleviate the human error that can occur?
Well, by having the units sit within a database, you're really able to drill down and provide the expected rent growth or the expected turnover by unit type, by unit grouping, if you will. And so you can really hone in on smaller inputs. And the fewer inputs that you have to make, the fewer opportunities there are for human error. And, you know, within Excel, there's just a lot of hard coding and keying. And with a system that sits on a database, much can already be uploaded. And it becomes almost more check the box versus type in that I'm going to spend $500 a month on this marketing system. So that becomes it simplifies everything for everyone, and they can make decisions as to yes, I want this, or no, I don't want that. And then it preloads based on a certain subset of information, and the database pulls, you start with your rent roll and it has very specific knowledgeable information as it relates to turns. And that is obviously a huge impact. Your expiration management is huge impact on your expenses and on your ability to grow your rents.
Yeah.
Over the course of the year.
And Donna, we've got about a minute left. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Jenny nailed it in terms of, you know, removing fat finger errors, guiding the workflow so you don't have to enter as much. I would just add getting away from the copy and paste of PMS reports. So if you've got a system where you're downloading a report, copying and pasting into Excel, that's got opportunities for error. And I guess one of the things we didn't really mention is it's also time savings, right? Jenny mentioned I can enter $500 and have it spread over all the months. That saves time compared to having to enter 500 in 12 or 14 or 15 different cells. So it alleviates human error, and it also saves time. So that time can be better spent, you know, serving customers, residents, associates, et cetera.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we're going to break it here and come back right after these messages with the next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials, or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we are discussing something that is important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily budgeting hassles solved. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Donald Davidoff, co-founder and CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics, and Jennifer Allen, Vice President of Asset Management with the Lincoln Property Company, who oversees their fund assets. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for effective access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So we want to talk a little bit in this segment about real-world lessons on modeling. And Donald, earlier you mentioned how budgets should be driver-based. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned earlier that occupancy should be an output, not an input.
Mm-hmm.
That's because, you know, occupancy is a result of things like expected renewal rates, time to release, et cetera. Right? Similarly, in-place rents are the result of result of rent seasonality, an actual expiration profile. Danny mentioned the importance of expiration management, numbers of move-ins, move-outs, expected annual growth, et cetera. So making things like occupancy and rent growth be the output, not the input, does a couple of things. It creates, frankly, a more accurate budget or forecast. And more importantly, it prevents the operators from creating an unrealistic budget. So, for example, we had a client who was, they expected to get to a specific occupancy, right? I'll pick a number, I don't remember exactly what it was, but they expected to get to 95.5, okay? And the model just wasn't getting there. The regional manager was actually quite frustrated that the only way she could get to that 95.5 was to have like an 80% renewal rate and 5 days to release, right? Which is unrealistically high for the former and unrealistically low for the latter. That actually then led to a conversation with the COO, and the COO realized that they really were going to have a difficult conversation with the client, right, with their owner, who happened to be a fee manager, because what the model was now showing was for that particular month, they just weren't going to get to the occupancy. They could get there maybe a month later with more reasonable numbers. It wasn't fun having that difficult conversation, but I think it's better to have that conversation during the budget cycle than to have an unrealistic budget because you just put arbitrarily an input of 95.5, and then when you get to that month and you can't achieve it, now you're having a conversation about underperformance. That's much more difficult than a conversation around the realities of what's going on with this particular property's operation.
Yeah, and Jenny, I know you use these budgeting tools. What are the benefits of the driver-based modeling that you've been able to experience?
So one of the benefits that I've seen specifically this budget season versus a prior budget season that I experienced has to do with payroll. And Donald mentioned that these databases can talk to your payroll system, and it uploads all the information about the individuals who are working on site. And down to the granular level, specifically as it relates to benefits, because I did have several years ago on Alisa, the team input a budget, the regional manager input the budget, they input that we would need a community manager and an assistant manager and a leasing associate and a maintenance tech and a maintenance super and a groundskeeper and a porter. And those were the seven positions. And then ultimately what happened was we began operating the building, and 5 or 6 months later, we were completely off the budget because for benefits on salary, largely due to the fact that all of the employees, all seven employees, had elected a more expensive family plan on their health insurance, which then kind of flowed through to the property. And there was no way to foresee that as we were building a lease-up model. But oftentimes in the Excel version of some of these models that don't sit on top of a database with real-world actual information as it relates to benefits, that can be a miss. And if it happens on 1, 2, 3, 4, I mean, the number of people it happens on, that can be a compounding miss as you move forward throughout the course of the year. So this driver-based upload benefit, the benefits out of a database, it's so beneficial. The second thing I'll touch on is kind of drivers. As it's driven, those payroll numbers can come from your payroll manager system, and you're not dependent upon a property manager or a regional manager to input those numbers, eliminating the need for human error because it comes out of the system. The same thing with all of your IT expenses and your expenses for softwares that you're using on site. They can sit there and set that the metric is going to be $149 a property a month or 72 cents a unit or whatever the driver is for the software that you're using. That can all be preloaded, and then it's automatically loaded, and there's no opportunity for mistakes. I think those are just such key components to running this driver-based system that really is important.
Yeah, and I would say that also that, as Donald mentioned previously too, it would be a tremendous time saver.
Huge.
Yeah. So we've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. So Donald, let's talk about rent forecasts. They're obviously difficult and a challenge for the industry. How can this make them easier?
Yeah, I think that's the point, right? I don't know that you can ever truly make rent forecasting easy, but as you said, you can certainly work to make it easier. And I think that goes back to the notion of what we talked about before around building the genius into the system, right? Letting the computer do what it does best and letting the humans do what they do best. And that, of course, leads us back to this whole driver-based model that we've been discussing. If people just have to enter their assumptions, which is really just converting their business plan for the next year into some key numbers, then the user's job is much easier, right? They can enter what their renewal strategy is. They can enter what the CEO has set as the market-by-market annual rent growth, and then the model can kind of do the rest. And so that's a way to make it easier. I found, again, back to my days at Archstone, in the early days there, I remember that it took regional managers at least one day per property to review the budgets. By applying the driver-based modeling, we actually got that down to 1 hour for them to review because instead of starting with sort of an almost blank Excel sheet that they had to fill in so many numbers, a bunch of that information was filled in for them, and they were then only entering the things that they truly uniquely knew and then reacting to the results. And, I find, some operators are good analysts, but, analysts are analysts for a reason and operators are operators for a reason. And my experience has been that if you show an operator a result, they're much, much better at telling you how much that makes sense for their world than trying to give them a blank Excel sheet that they're supposed to fill in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Jenny, what are your thoughts?
Well, rent forecasts they're notoriously difficult, and so often far too many of us kind of default to 3% rent growth. And digging in market, not even market by market, but submarket by submarket, product asset class by asset class within the submarket, those can be where you have to really dig in and rely on, you know, outside sources. I have found in my experience, we rely on outside sources and the econometric models that are produced by others, some of the national, you know, some national firms, and then even some hyper-local firms have really great data that you can use to kind of synthesize an average to put forth and put into your rent forecasts. The other difficulty is, and we've touched on it a couple times now, is seasonality. You know, in your cities in the north half of the U.S., it's really hard to convince people to move and get rent growth once winter sets in, because nobody wants to move or plan to move and then have a blizzard upend their plans. So this can be that can make it really difficult to drive rent and to make change during those tough months.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that, for instance, where I'm located in the south, the seasonality must not play as big a role as it would as someone who's located in Michigan, for instance. Donald, is that something that you've seen?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I think Jenny's point about getting more granular, right, even within Houston, right, while it may have subdued seasonality from Michigan, there's still seasonality. And the seasonality in your three bedrooms is going to be different than your ones and twos, right? In fact, you know, three bedrooms are very family-oriented. That tends to be, again, almost running a different business under the same roof. So I think that's really important. And what I like, of course, you know, my background in pricing and analytics, what I like about this driver-based approach is you can take the data you have on your leasing history and actually calculate that rent seasonality, you know, calculate what the typical days to release are, et cetera. So we're not leaving these, we're not recommending that operators themselves have to figure that all out. You can, you know, an analytical person in the company can do, can pretty quickly figure those things out just based on data that comes out of the PMS.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to leave it here, and we are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after the short break. We are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Thank you. We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is Multifamily Budgeting Hassles Solved. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Donald Davidoff, co-founder and CEO of Real Estate Business Analytics, and Jennifer Allen, Vice President of Asset Management with the Lincoln Property Company, who oversees their fund assets. So this has been a very, very interesting conversation. And, you know, anybody who's around multifamily knows that the most dreaded time of the year is budgeting time. So let's talk about some maybe tips that we can give to our listeners for better budgeting, for improving their budgeting process. Jenny, what are some of the tips you can provide?
Well, I think as an owner, the best thing that we can do as owners is to communicate to our management company what our expectations are and the deliverables that we need back and the timeline for that. I think that setting a very clear goal from the onset is the single best thing you can do for a budget.
Okay. And Donald, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I sort of focus on that timeline. I mean, since I've been in my career, I've been supporting the budget process as opposed to driving it the way Jenny does. And I guess one of the things I can just say is, like, start planning further in advance, particularly if you're introducing anything new into your budget model, a change in the process, or if you're actually implementing a whole new budget application. The earlier you can start, the better. In my 20-plus years in this business, I've probably been involved in three or four different sort of major versions of budgeting processes. And I can tell you one of the frustrating things that can happen is you do all your testing, you think everything's fine, but until people really use it, you don't know. And often we'll get bugs found, you know, late in the process because the operator didn't really start until it was only a week before it was due. And if they'd started 3 weeks before it was due, we could, you know, research and fix things in a very calm manner. But when they're calling and it's due in 3 or 4 days and it's the first time this bug's been found, you know, obviously that causes a problem. So just it's easy to say, hard to do, but start earlier.
Okay, and that brings up the fact that budgeting is extremely time-consuming. It's done when you enter what I guess is considered the low season in multifamily. Time obviously could be better spent on operations during that time. What do you do to cut the amount of time that your teams are spending on budget during budget season, Jenny?
Well, I think, you know, playing off of what Donald just said about starting early, you can only eat an elephant one bite at a time. And I think that is that kind of speaks to the entire budgeting process. Once an operator has a timeline and a goal and they know what their expected set of deliverables are, you should walk back into a preliminary review and a secondary review and a review with your owner and build in all of the necessary time that you need to have all of these reviews. And even down to kind of a line item level, if you know what your utilities were last year and your budget's not due for a month or 45 days, go ahead and put that in. And if you've gotten an update from a service provider that says that your water rates are going to go up 7% effective March 1st next year, build that in. Don't wait until you have all of this data to input every single expense line item in. Build it in. Build your utilities. Build in all the drivers. Input them. And certain things will change as you build your rent. But if you have certain expenses already built in and loaded, then the drivers will take care of themselves. And as the operator and as the person who's communicating with, you know, certain service providers as it relates to changes in expenses, communicate that early, communicate it often to the owner so that when you do sit down to have that first preliminary review with your owner, they're not going, oh my God, utilities are up 7%. Why, what's happening here? We've had this conversation. We talked about it a month ago. Here's this. And so, but you've already built it. You've built the inputs. You've loaded the information. That was done a month ago. And then a couple days later, you can tackle the next thing. You got wind from the tax consultant as to what the taxes are going to be. Load it. Just put it in one bite at a time.
There you go. That, That definitely makes sense. We got about 4 minutes left before I want to transition to something else to discuss with you guys. But that's reforecasting we're talking about as part of a budget, ritual that goes on every year. How does reforecasting play into a smoother and faster budget season, Donald?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's interesting because everybody puts such energy around the budget. But to me, you want to reforecast at least once mid-year, maybe even more frequently. And with an automated budget application, not, things all over Excel, it actually makes it much easier to do those mid-year reforecasts. And even just one, certainly two or three mid-year reforecasts, means that everyone has reviewed those, and so the differences between the most recent reforecast and next year's budget are much smaller, so it's easier and quicker to get to agreement on that. And I should have noted probably earlier, another good function for any budget application or any budget process is the ability for a single central analyst to be able to run mid-year forecasts, right? That way you don't have to interrupt operators' work every single quarter or twice a year, right? You do one big budget process with them, and then you can do a more centralized reforecast, especially because frequently we see that mid-year reforecasts focus more on revenue than expenses, right? Expense management is more predictable. The drivers of revenue can change mid-year. And so most reforecasts tend to be focused more on revenue, and that can be done more centrally.
And that brings up another question, and that is, why should a budget be a tool in your toolkit to use throughout the year?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we touched on this a bit earlier, but the main reason you use a driver-based budget or forecast is it makes it easier to assess why you missed the overall target, right? If I just put in 95.5 and I miss it or I beat it, I don't really know why I missed it or why we did so well, right? I'm unhappy or happy, but I can't really use it to learn anything. On the other hand, if I was at 94.9 instead of 95.5 and I look and I go, oh, we said we were going to renew 52%. We only renewed 48. We said it was going to take 17 days to release. We really took 23, right? Now we can use this as a feedback loop so that the budget's no longer a once-a-year exercise. It can actually be a guiding discussion throughout the year, can really drive better performance and make for successively easier budgeting processes going forward.
That makes sense. We've got about a minute and a half left, and I want to ask the question, because we've talked about all these different things that need to happen. From a best practices standpoint, who should be doing what when it comes to entering this information? And I'll ask you, Jenny.
Well, if you're using a more simplified tool as Excel, then it's one person at a time. If you have the ability to work within the cloud, you can divide and conquer. And it, once again, back to the elephant analogy, it makes it a lot easier for a team to split up and divide. That the on-site property manager who has access to all the bills is going to input these certain subset of expenses, and a regional manager can take a look at the drivers for turn costs and work with their revenue manager and figure out time to turn a unit, rent growth, seasonality, and they can, so work can be done in tandem. So I feel like it's really team dependent and who's best suited with the information at their fingertips to enter the information quickly.
All right. Well, I'm going to transition now. I want to ask you guys, I always ask our guests several questions that for the benefit of our listeners. Number one, how'd you get into the multifamily business? And if someone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach you? And also tell us a little bit about what you're working on now. And I'll start with you, Jenny.
Well, I serendipitously fell into real estate out of university and started working for a real estate firm and have jumped around a little bit, but have stayed with asset management for the last 20-something years and in the multifamily sector specifically. I've dabbled in a couple other sectors, but I stayed true to my multifamily roots for a pretty long time now. Have just started my role here at Lincoln with the fund assets, as it's a relatively new division within the firm. I've been here for almost 6 months now, and I can be reached. I think the easiest way to reach me is via email at jallen, A-L-L-E-N, at LPSI.
Fantastic. Donald, how about you?
Yeah, so like many, I fell into this industry as well. I refer to it as the flypaper industry. You come into it from some tangential place, and you're in it for the rest of your life. I'm definitely one of those people. I got involved through pricing and revenue management, led the team that built LRO, which was the first, the first automated pricing system. And way back in 2001, switched sides of the table and went to work for Archstone as the industry's first vice president of pricing and revenue management. That's actually related to what we're doing today. My main partner in crime at Archstone is my partner and co-founder here at Reba, Real Estate Business Analytics. We're a data analytics platform. So we have a business intelligence platform as a service solution. And surprise, surprise with this topic, we also have a budget and forecasting solution. Again, the easiest way to reach me, like Jenny, is email. First initial last name, so D. Davidoff. Davidoff is just David and off put together, at getreba.com, GETREBA.com. I like the company name Reba, but Reba.com was taken, so we have to getreba.com.
And tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've been able to do with the company now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're just coming up on 3 years old. We've got we just signed our 17th client last week, so growing fast. Two available products. Reba's BI platform, business intelligence platform, draws data from multiple sources and really provides a wide range of analytic dashboards. And I think one of the things that makes Reba BI unique is instead of just getting the dashboards, you actually get the underlying code, or clients get the underlying code, so they can customize the dashboards or build their own any way they want. Our inspiration was Chris and I were used to the bespoke BI platform we had at Archstone. And so the question was, can't people get bespoke quality, customizable business intelligence without having to spend 2 to 3 years and $2 to $3 million to build a V1? So that's Reba BI. And then Reba Budget's built a lot on what we did at Archstone around all the things we've talked about, driver-based modeling, reduce the amount of time it takes operators to spend. I was always amused that you mentioned it earlier, we're going into low season and it's budget season. So at the toughest part of the year, we put our head to the CEO and our rear end to the customer. And we want to save a lot more time so people can put their head to the customer.
Absolutely. Well, this is a great topic. We could talk about it much more, and hopefully we'll have you both back on again in the future soon. But we're going to break it here, and we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.